could have three losses by now.
I don't know about that.
They are not that good.
Put Florida State in there, I would say yes to that, what you just said.
One return by Caleb Downs. And he finds a seam. He makes the punter look silly. Caleb Downs, show him what you got. Touchdown, Bama.
5 minute drive now for UTEP. And they will keep it on the ground. And one just gets pile driven by Stutzman.
They really haven't even tried from the shotgun. That throw's intercepted. Pierce down the sideline. Touchdown.
Claiborne, the sophomore, has one score so far this season. Griffiths will buy a little bit of time. Falling down, lost the football. Play is still live. And recovered by the Monarchs. LaMarion James will take it the other way for the ODU touchdown.
Welcome back to WIDP Grind. I'm Hollywood. I'm joined by my co-host, Justice. What's going on, my man?
Not much, buddy. Not much. Just, weekend full of March Madness. Stupid yeah. NFL rules today. And
hey, don't jinx me. My team is still in it for now, all right? Don't jinx it.
Well, we can talk about the stupid NFL rule. Like, what are they going to do? Just, like, start taking out knees, I guess, you know? I mean.
Yeah, I was busy earlier and saw you're in Brock's comments, and I was like, this is going to turn into what I said it was. Football is going to eventually turn into a flag football sport, and I'll be done. When that happens, I'll be done. There'll be no more of me. I'll just be done with it because that's not what – I understand the safety and everything of it, but this is just getting ridiculous. Like, I don't know what a defensive player is supposed to do now.
Well, they're going to take out your knees. That's what's going to happen. Huh? I mean, what else? What other choice do they have?
Like, yeah, I know.
There aren't a whole lot of other options. I mean, I feel like, I don't know. It's going to be your lower legs.
Yep, and it's going to take somebody getting severely injured, as in career-threatening injury, to force them to change it. That's what.
Well, then it'll be like, oh, you can't attack their knees. Okay, well, where can I hit them?
And that's kind of my point. I think they're going to outlaw that then, and then there'll be something else, and then I think you will see this sport turn into a flag. You'll still wear pads up top, and you'll still wear a helmet to protect your head. But they already don't wear pads below the waist, so stick flags on them, and there you go. That's what this game will be, and I'll tell you, I'll be done.
That's terrible, man. Terrible.
I'll switch over and start watching hockey. So, and welcome to WIDP Grind, where me and Justice is on a rant early today. I agree. I don't know what the answer is, but they're making it where you can't do anything defensively, and I don't know what you're supposed to do. So anyway,
it's like the helmet, like the helmet to helmet contact. Like, so many times, like, you see, like, the ball carrier, whether it's a running back or receiver, they lower their head, right? To me, the penalty should be on them, right? Because, you know, they initiated that head to head. Now, clearly when the defensive guy leaves with his head and hits their head, like, in a normal stance, that's different. But so many times, like, the guy is going in for a tackle and the ball carrier lowers his head, and he's the one kind of really causing that head to head contact. So,
yeah, and this all kind of started back with the targeting thing, right? Because they're saying you can't, like you said, you can't lead with your head. You're supposed to hit with your shoulder. Well, I've never played a game of football in my life that where I went to tackle with my shoulder that my head didn't naturally
go the same way. Yeah.
So, I mean, you can tell when watching a play, if you have any sense at all, you can tell if a player is directly using his head or if he's trying to do the right thing. And I just think that's kind of where it all started. And
sometimes it's the offensive player, though, that causes it. But, like, the defensive player gets the penalty, sure, which is bullcrap. But
sure, yeah. Because how many times, like you said, we've seen a running back come through the hole or something or getting ready to have contact. And what's he do? Drops his shoulder and his head goes with it.
He's initiated.
So we'll just have to see kind of how this plays out, I guess. I kind of hate it for the game of football, but I understand the safety side of it, but I think they're just they're going to ruin the game overall. I think there's better ways or other ways that they could do this. Not a lot of news and notes, but there was some interesting news and notes. So, and some of this is recruiting. I'll get to that real quick. So, yesterday was a busy day, especially for USC. So, Sunday afternoon, they got a big recruiting flip from five-star Justice Terry in the 2025 class. He was already committed to Georgia, and he flipped to USC, which is kind of surprising. You don't tend to see a lot of that, especially this late in the cycle. You know, I know it's 2025, so they still have a senior season, but typically when a high-rated recruit has committed, it's because he wants to have the process done and enjoy his senior year and not have to fool with that. So usually those type players are kind of locked in to. So to see him kind of flip at the last minute here was kind of interesting. And then to piggyback off of that, within just a few hours, USC landed 2025 five-star edge Isaiah Gibson from Warner Robins, Georgia. So, you know, they got Justice Terry to flip, and then they get Isaiah Gibson to commit. Gibson's the eighth best edge, 76th overall player. And he had 17 sacks and 55 quarterback hits last fall as a junior. And then Terry, the switch, he's the number two defensive lineman in this class and number eight overall recruit in the class. So USC gave up, I believe I saw 430-something yards on an average, 432 I think it was, average yards per game. I think they gave up 30-plus points per game. We talked about it all year last year, how they were getting roasted on defense. And it appears that they're making an effort to try to change it.
I mean, they're opening up the piggy bank, I'm assuming, right? That's why these guys are headed there. That's why you saw the flip. And
I would say. I didn't see anything to that effect, but that would be my guess. And they've made some coaching changes, too, if I remember correctly, on defense. So, will it be better than what we saw last year? I hope so, because they don't have Caleb Williams any longer to bail them out of some games. So,
well, they brought over with the UCLA D coordinator.
I think it was, yeah. And then they got the guy from North Dakota State.
The head coach there too. Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, so, maybe they're co-D coordinator. Maybe I don't remember off the top of my head.
So they're making the effort to try to get better. I guess, you know, we'll just have to wait till the season starts and see. I'm going to skip here. Alabama lands a commitment from 2025 four-star Darryl Johnson, who was ranked as the fifth best linebacker, 48th player overall. That's a pretty decent get for them. I've been thinking about this the past week, and it was something Sal said, you know, where do we look, you know, like, with Caleb Downs moving or players graduating or going to the NFL, what positions do we kind of look at? And we kind of mentioned Alabama a little bit, but it got me thinking, this ain't going to be the same Alabama we're used to seeing, because we've talked about this at length too. Saban's no longer there, right? So this is a complete – well, I won't say a complete, but it's as close to a complete overhaul as you can get. You know, they have players like Tony Mitchell, who they at safety they drafted in. They have I believe it's Sean Murphy, a linebacker who they drafted in. Well, this is not DeBoer's guys. So, for me, I think those guys with Chris Braswell and those guys moving on to the NFL, naturally a Murphy and a Mitchell would be the next guys up. But I don't know that to be the way now that you have a new coaching staff in place. My initial thought is yes, because they've been on campus and you're going through a transition, so you kind of want to go with the guys that's there. But you know as good as I do, anytime a new head coach comes in, he kind of wants to put his stamp on things right away. So, and this is a new guy for him, right? This is a new coaching staff, a new recruit. So Daryl Johnson, I think, is going to be a key player for them in a couple of years. You know, you're probably looking at 26 or 27 because he's 25. Well, yeah, probably 26. But do you think that maybe he'll – excuse me, I'm getting over a cold. Do you think that maybe they'll roll with most of the older players – well, not older players, but established players that are already there at Alabama?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, minus the guys that followed him over from Washington, right? But I don't, and the, I don't know if any defensive guys followed him over. Most of the defensive guys at Washington were, you know, seniors, and they're up there in the NFL draft. So, I want to say that maybe there was a safety or something that might have followed him over, but I would expect so.
Yeah, and I saw that Proctor, the big tackle that transferred out, is now transferring back or potentially transferring back.
So. I was going to say, is that official or that's just a rumor? I haven't seen anyone say it's official yet, but.
Yeah, I haven't seen it's official, but it looks to be, from what I saw today, that looks to be trending that way, if you will. So I guess that's, to me, that kind of, and I hate to say it because my instant reaction is kind of what you said a minute ago. NIL money, right? Are they throwing more money at him to get him to come back or stay or whatever? So, and we won't know that unless somebody tells us. But, you know, at today's age of the game, you just, that's the initial reaction, how much money's involved. So, running back Trevor Etienne, who just transferred in to Georgia. Sunday was a busy day as he was charged with DUI and reckless driving. Early Sunday, go Bulldogs. You all be consistent with your stuff. We love it.
You'd think at this point, like they'd hire a team driver or something, man. I don't know.
You would think exactly. You would
work some kind of deal with Uber or Lyft, man. Like,
oh my gosh, dude. Just the, what's the word? Perception. The look on their team, you would think that they would have to public relations, the PR. You'd think they'd have a PR team that would say, hey, guys, y'all can't be doing this. You know, just how many times did we talk about it last year?
A lot.
And it wasn't just Jalen Carter. It was other players. And
yeah.
So I don't know. There seems to be a problem down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. There seems to be a problem in Athens. And then a couple more pieces. Clemson has now filed a lawsuit against the ACC. Sorry. They have joined Florida State and them as they are. It's over the exit penalty to leave the ACC, which I believe I read was $140 million, which is ridiculous. But if I'm the ACC, I'm kind of sticking to this, right? Because if you give an inch on this, your conference is done.
They're gone, buddy. They're gone.
They're done. Yeah.
Done. And yeah. They're gone, and the conference is done as we know it. Like, yeah.
They're the next Pac-12.
Yeah. I mean, I think what they would do is I could see them scrambling to add Washington State and Oregon State to try and stay relevant. But I mean, you got to figure, like, if this happens, I don't know, 4 to 6 of the ACC teams are gone probably to the Big Ten and to the SEC.
Florida State, Miami, North Carolina, and Clemson would be the first four out the door, I think.
Well, the problem with North Carolina is I think they can't do anything unless NC State does something. The state legislature passed some kind of law recently, and I think basically like the two have to stick together in terms of both leaving. I haven't really read it, but that's what kind of what I recall, something to that effect. So I think the Big Ten wants Virginia. Virginia kind of fits their academic profile. So I think Virginia's one. Miami might get left out. I don't know.
Yeah. And like I said, if the ACC budges or gets ruled against, then they're the next Pac-12, right? And speaking of that, I didn't put it on the notes, but I saw a thing where the NCAA playoff committee or whatever it is settled a deal with the Pac-12, which is just two teams, but now they're getting, I think it was 3 million. I need to go back and look. I think it was like 3 million, 3.5 million per year now through 2028, maybe 2031, whenever this new deal that they have in place is empty. The Pac-12 to only have two teams is still not dead, and they're still fighting, right? They got a new commissioner, and if I'm them, and I would reach out to the ACC. Now, I'm sure they would be maybe because I'm a stickler for the name, right? So I would reach out to the ACC and say, hey, if those guys leave or if they stay, do you want to reach some kind of deal to join together? Now, to me, you wouldn't call it the Pac-12. You wouldn't call it the ACC because they're on, to me, geographically, that's two different things. But you could form some kind of conference and say, okay, this is the ACC division of said conference, the Pac-12 division of said conference, and kind of keep the integrity of the conferences that way. And you could probably pick up some teams, maybe pick up some teams out west to join the Pac-12, maybe pick up some teams on the East Coast to kind of fill out those that leave. So that would be my thought. I don't know that it'll ever happen, but, you know, just kind of my thought on it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I think the ACC, I don't know. They're going to be in a weird spot because there's going to be teams like Duke, for instance, that nobody wants. And, you know, but they're really good in basketball, right? So I don't know. Maybe like Duke does something weird and, you know, goes to the Big East for basketball. I don't know. Does something else, you know, football joins somewhere else. But yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting when those ACC dominoes start falling. It's going to be kind of interesting to see how it all shakes out. I mean, because at that point, like you're probably, then you're moving to what, a P3 maybe with the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12. And yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Like you said, it'll be very interesting to see how all that plays out. And then the final piece is the SEC is elected to stay with an eight-game conference schedule for 2025. And it will be their first season in conference history since 1991. It'll be the first time since 91 that the conference doesn't have divisions. So it'll be a full 16-team, one division, top two teams get to play in the SEC championship game. So some changes coming conference-wise. They didn't say that they would not expand to the nine-game schedule, but for now they want to stick at eight, see how everything's playing out before they try to make adjustments, which kind of tells me maybe they want to see what the rest of this realignment thing happens, especially with the ACC. You don't want to change something now, and then next year you've got more teams and you have to change again. So I think that kind of makes sense. Just stay with the one division, top two, fight it out, and then see where it goes from there.
Yeah.
And that kind of does it for our news and notes. We want to thank our sponsors over at Trophy Smack for donating our hardware to our Listener League winners. Good quality stuff, well made. Looks good, feels good, and as a champion, you deserve something like that. So we thank them for sponsoring us on that. Action 24/7, a completely revamped site for them, locally owned for Tennesseans by Tennesseans. And man, it's been so fun during the March Madness tournament to go over there and see their odds and place a few bets and stuff. So go check them out. And then myfantasyleague.com sponsors our listener leagues as well. They comp us on those so we don't have to pay, and we can keep y'all playing listener leagues for free. I know there was a buzz earlier this week about them going up. I think it was another $10 on their
fees. But like those people that tweeted that was, I mean, you know, like I took it at face value, and I'm not in any leagues where I'm the one responsible for paying, but I talked to Chop and he said, like, the increase only applies if you wait until.
Exactly.
Like,
that's my.
If you paid the early bird, you still get the same early bird prices last year. So, right. a little disingenuous on those tweets.
It is. And that was my whole point. I wish Chop was here to say that, because that was exactly my first thought, too. And I was like, because when I first read it, I was like, oh, man, they're going up $10. And I was like, well, $10 in the grand scheme of things, the way the world is going now, that's not a bad inflation rate, right? And then it hit me. I was like, well, wait a minute. They have an early bird. They actually have an early bird. And then they, if I'm not mistaken, they have a second period to where it goes up like $5 and you're still getting it cheaper than the full price. And then once it hits another date, you know, it goes up. So I'm like, yeah, I agree with Chop. If you pay your league early,
there was no increase. No, now, the one thing Brock did, that Choppy did say, was like the date moved up. Like the dates are sooner than they have been in the past. But other than that, like if you did the early bird, you're still getting the same price. So
yes. And like I said, the $10, even if you waited and paid the extra $10, the inflation rate, that's not that big in the way things, you know, it's not like eggs going from a dollar and something to $4 or $5, you know, that's, in the grand scheme of things, that's not a whole lot. So, like you said, pay your early bird special and be done with it. But, yeah, we thank them. I know a lot of people don't like them, but I like them. They're fully customizable. You can set your leagues up how you want, where you want. Could they be better? Sure. But anything could be better. You know, you can always improve stuff. But I think for what you're getting, I just think they're the best value in town. And no knock against the other ones, but I don't like the cartoony look that some of them have.
Sleeper's terrible for IDP.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I was going. They're kind of cartoony, and then their IDP stuff is just – it's just horrible. I mean, it's horrible. So
I will say, though, if you're looking for another option, Fantrax is – I say this in terms – I've never played in an NFL Fantrax league. I have gone in and looked at the settings, and as far as customization, they got it, buddy. I mean, like, I feel like there's pretty much anything you can do in MFL in terms of scoring customization for IDP, you can do the same in Fantrax. The one thing I'm not sure about is how Fantrax would handle leagues that were multiple copies. I'm not quite sure how that would work. I think it's doable, but I've never played with it. I mean, I play in a basketball league that's, you know, it's three multiple copy leagues. So I know it's doable, right? Because that league does it, but I just don't know the ins and outs of it. So I feel like, you know, if you are looking for another option, that's one I would explore.
Right. Yeah. I'm not exactly sure, how they do that either, but I'm sure it's possible to do that. So this week, as you know, each week we've been breaking down a conference, transfer portal ins and outs, and coaching changes in and outs. And this week we are up to the Mountain West Conference. I'll be doing the coaching changes. Justice will go over the player changes. And man, these player changes and the coaching changes, but the player changes have been so helpful. especially to me, because recently I just finished yesterday my top 300 IDP Devy rankings. There's still some tweaking to go, naturally, as the spring games and stuff go on. But as I've had to remove players that's graduated or left for the NFL, I'm having to bring in new players, and these lists have helped me a lot. I've been able to go back and look and add players. So definitely, if you're into IDP Devy, you definitely need to be listening to these episodes or checking out our show sheets, which we attach. So, yeah, very helpful. So we're doing the Mountain West. Up first is Air Force. So they had a couple of coaching changes. EJ Whitlow, their defensive line coach, is out. He's going to Wisconsin to do the same position there. And then coming in is going to be Deontay Gibson to coach the defensive ends. And he was formerly the defensive line coach for Youngstown State.
Player wise, you know, Air Force, like Navy and Army, you know, they don't take in transfer portal kids. But they can't have folks leave through the portal. Basically, you know, I think it comes, Luke and I just interviewed the Air Force guy last Friday. The episode's dropping this week, and he kind of explains the process about that. But there's a point in time where, you know, they can decide, hey, this isn't for me, I want to get out. And then they don't have to do their military service commitment. But yeah, watch the episode that drops this Friday on for the G5 Hive, where we talk to the gentleman about Air Force. But so they can't have guys leave through the portal, but they can't bring anybody in. But they do lose quite a few players this year out of eligibility, both offense and defense. There's a lot of attrition, a lot of returning production that Air Force loses. On the defensive side, they lose linebackers Alec Mock, Jonathan Young, safety Trey Taylor, I don't know, Hollywood. I don't understand why he didn't get an invite to the combine. When I tried finding information on it, like, they basically said, well, you know, military academy guys don't usually get invites. But like, he won the freaking Jim Thorpe Award, right? I don't know. Just, I feel like he's got a great shot at getting drafted. But I just could not understand why, you know, he was not one of the combine invites. Just struck me as very strange.
Yeah, and you struck a nerve already for the second time today, because you would rather keep a play like Trey Taylor, who won the Thorpe Award, right? You would rather say, oh, well, he's a military and they don't typically get drafted, so we're not going to invite him. But you'll invite a slew of players to the draft that say, oh, well, I'm not going to perform, or I'm not going to do this. That's fine. That's their decision if they don't want to perform, if they don't want to do the drills. But take that invite and give to somebody deserving that could, Trey Taylor, that could have been his opportunity to be in front of all the scouts and show what he can do. Now he's got to do a pro day where some teams may show up, some teams may not. I just really hate that whole thing for the combine invites. I think it's a popularity contest, like everything else with sports. And that's not fair to some of these guys. There's a lot of good players that don't get these invites that could benefit from them. So sorry,
it's all right, man. I mean, I think at the end of the day, Taylor will get drafted, but still, he definitely deserved a combine invite.
I think he will get drafted too. I mean, I think he's one of their two biggest losses defensively. I know you talked about Mock and Youngblood, their linebackers. But Taylor was third on the team in tackles with 74. He had 3 interceptions, 4 pass deflections. I mean, he was a little bit of a do-it-all for them, 5 tackles for a loss. And the other one is going to be Bo Richter, their pass rusher, 19.5 TFLs and 10 sacks. So I know they're going to miss their linebackers, but I think those two are going to have a huge impact on their team being gone next year.
Yeah, I know Bo Richter has NFL aspirations as well. Not sure that he'll actually get drafted. He might be more like a, UDFA. But I mean, Trey Taylor not getting a combine invite, that was criminal, if you ask me. They also lose their other two starting safeties, Jonathan Goodwin and Jalen Mergerson, all out of eligibility. So that's their top six tacklers that are gone from last year. As you mentioned, Bo Richter as well is out of eligibility, and he has NFL aspirations. They've got to replace a lot of production there on the defense. And you'll have to excuse me that when we talked to the Air Force guy, we asked him all these questions, and he spouted off names, for us. But my brain is not working very well today. I don't really recall some of the gentlemen that he told us to look out for. But again, that episode is dropping on Friday, and encourage you guys to listen if you're interested in learning more about Air Force and kind of who steps up in these roles for them. They don't bring anyone in through the portal, so pretty much everything that they do, is done in house.
Right. And these military universities, colleges, whatever you want to call them, academies, I guess is the proper term. They're a little different in the aspect that, yes, these players, just like any other college player, has NFL aspirations or pro aspirations. It doesn't have to be the NFL, right? But they're kind of dealing with stuff that, on a bigger scale, is greater, right? They made a commitment to their country, so there's commitments that they have to meet there before they could think about football. Now, I know in recent years we've kind of seen waivers or exemptions.
Well, and we talked about that on the episode, and so both Trey Taylor and Bo Richter, since they graduated in December of 23, they can get drafted and then put off their military duty. But if they were to not graduate until May, then they'd have to do their military duty first.
So they've kind of already filled their commitment, per se, in a way.
Basically what he said is they get the, like, for instance, for them, the two of them, since they graduated in December of 23, they get to put their military, commitment on hold, basically, to pursue an NFL career. Once the NFL career is over, then they have to go back and honor that commitment. But guys that graduate now and moving forward, unless the president does something different, they have to honor that commitment right away. They don't get to put it on hold. So they were kind of the last guys to kind of get to do that.
Right. And one more thing on that. I know our buddy Sal is always hitting us up. This is a school that, if you have some IDP players for your teams, this is a school you probably need to look at as far as who's next, right? Because he always wants to know who's the next guy. He's a big proponent of who's next. Well, they have so much turnover right now, as you just mentioned with these guys. Somebody has to step up and fill this role, and that's a lot of production for them to replace. So I would keep an eye on it and see, especially early on, first couple of weeks, see who's out there as the starter, at least. That might be an indicator of who the next man up is. But I'd also look at how much are they playing, right? Just because somebody's starting, maybe the backup is getting more reps or whatever. So those kind of situations I would look at. Up next is Boise State. So they had a few coaching changes here. On their way out, of course, is their head coach, Andy Avalos, who was fired. Kane Ione, the safeties coach, went to Nevada to be their new defensive coordinator. As we've mentioned in other shows, when you get rid of your head coach, there's mass changes. So coming in is going to be Spencer Danielson. Spencer Danielson is going to be their new head coach. He was formerly the defensive coordinator and interim head coach at Boise State. So they've promoted him to official head coach status. And with that, he's going to have Tyler Stockton as his co-defensive coordinator and safeties coach. And he's been with the program. He was the former defensive coordinator. So he's staying that. He's just a co-defensive coordinator with
Daniels. And my guess is he was really the defensive coordinator when he went and when Danielson was the interim head coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
In terms of player personnel, there really is no one of significance that they're losing this year on the defensive side of the ball. They do bring in edge Tavion Woodard, who we talked about last week. That's a pretty good get for them coming over from Ball State. And they bring in cornerback Jeremiah Irby coming over from California. They do return their top tacklers. Their top tackler last year was safety Alexander Tubna with 79 total tackles. And then linebacker Andrew Simpson was second with 65 tackles. So, yeah, they, return their top tacklers. Their top pressure guy was defensive end Ahmad Hassanian with 53 pressures. Not sure. Trying to look how many tackles he had. Or sacks, I'm sorry. 12 and a half sacks last year. He returned. So, yeah, I mean, they pretty much return everybody, and they add Irby and Woodard. So should be a yeah. good defense.
And I like Hassanian. As far if you have a league that really rewards pass rushers, I think he's a good one to try to look at as a low key guy for your IDP rosters. Next will be the Colorado State Rams. So going out is going to be defensive ends coach Buda Williams. He is now in Indiana to coach the same position. And then coming in is going to be Chuka Nalule, defensive line coach. And he is coming over from New Mexico State, where he was also their defensive line coach.
Player-wise, they lose defensive lineman Grady Kelly. He's off to Florida State. Linebacker Justin Sanchez is out of eligibility. And the big one, a guy you'll see getting drafted here in a couple weeks, defensive end edge Muhammad Kamara is off to the NFL. That's going to be a big loss for them. They do return their leading tackler, safety Jack Howe, 114 tackles. And then they also had a linebacker, Chase Wilson, who had over 100 tackles last year with 107 tackles. In terms of, I'm not sure who was their top sack guy after. I guess it was the linebacker, right? Chase Wilson. Chase Wilson was the top after Kamara.
Yeah. And then Henry Blackburn was next.
So yeah, they got to they got some replacements they got to do on that defensive line. So yeah, another place to kind of pay attention.
And yeah, speaking of, I'm trying to piggyback on some of this. My IDP Davy rankings, Jack Howell is up there. I actually moved him up a few spots. Of course, with players off to the NFL and all that stuff, things change. But I really like him. So if they're not getting – if they don't have Kamara or somebody to step up in his place and provide that type of pass rush, then I have to believe that Howell and Wilson are going to be the beneficiaries, right? Both of them were over 100 tackles. I would kind of think those would trickle up just a little bit, probably closer to 120 for those guys, which is not out of range. Howell was 114, Wilson was 107. So if they trend up towards 120, that's probably about right. And that's pretty good for your IDP team. So I'd keep an eye on them. Next up is going to be – oh, this is going to be a good one. It's like Justice just wants to poke the bear today. Just wants to poke the bear. Next is Fresno State. No coaching changes. To note of, but they do have a few player changes.
They do. They lose linebacker Raymond Scott going over to James Madison, and linebacker Lavelle Bailey is out of eligibility. But probably the biggest news is who they're bringing in. Former five-star number one recruit, Edge Corey Foreman, coming over from USC. You know, Hollywood's favorite player. Hollywood spent a lot of money on him in the league, and he hasn't done anything. Yes. But maybe this is a blessing, Hollywood. Maybe he'll get to Fresno State and the G5, and he'll start producing for you.
You know, it's the best $275 recruiting dollars that I ever freaking spent in an auction. It really is. So far I have to admit I was wrong on him. I don't know quite what the situation was in USC with him. If he just wasn't as good as what everybody thought. If there was an issue, I know they've had some changes out there. I don't know if that was an issue, but it's just hard for me to believe that a player that was, according to which site you looked at, he was either the number one or number two overall player in that class, and he's not made any type of impact at all. So maybe the change, you've heard me talk about change of scenery, maybe a change to somewhere else will do him some good. I have to believe that going to Fresno State, he's easily one of their best and most talented players, I would assume.
You'd hope so.
You would hope so. If that's true, then maybe we see what we thought he was all along. But, yeah, right now I completely have whiffed on him, and I think this is it. This is absolutely the last chance for him. If he doesn't show something,
this right definitely away, the last chance.
Yeah. I mean, if he doesn't show something right away, I would hate to do it, but I would have to consider cutting him. Or, you know, because you're not going to get anybody to trade for him. If you do, it's going to be, I don't know, what, I throw in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wire pick, you know, so you're not going to get your value out of him anyway. So, but I hope it works out for him. More importantly, I hope it works out for me.
Well, back to who is returning for Fresno State. They do return their leading tackler and safety, Dean Clark, that had 80 tackles, and their top linebacker, Malachi Langley, at 79 tackles. So, yeah, hopefully Foreman can get it together, and Fresno State looks to be one of the favorites there in the Mountain West. So,
yeah, and looking at their roster from last year, they – really could use Foreman to be that guy, right? They didn't have – I'm looking at Pro Reference here. They didn't have a single defender with over 10 TFLs. I think their most was Morris Norris with 9.5. And as far as pass rushing numbers, Jacob Holmes led the team with 5 sacks. So they desperately need him to be what everybody thought he was going to be, right? Because I think their best pass rusher was David Perales, who was drafted last year or signed as a UDFA last year. So they need a pass rusher. Up next is going to be everyone's favorite team, the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. Gosh, I hate some of these names. I know I'm going to butcher them. So on the way out is Edie Inna, their defensive tackles coach. He was fired. Steve Irwin, the cornerbacks coach, was fired. And then Jacob Yoro, a safeties coach, left to go to Missouri to be an analyst for them. And then coming in for the coaching staff is going to be Dennis Thurman. He's going to be their defensive coordinator, formerly quality control director at Colorado. Then you've got Jeff Renenbold, to come in and coach the defensive tackles. And he was formerly a special teams coordinator in the CFL for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. So that's your coaching changes there.
Player-wise, they lose one of their leading linebackers in Isaiah Tufaga. And they bring in cornerback Fabian Ross coming over from USC. They do return their leading tackler, defensive back Peter Manuma, with 88 tackles. And when we talked with the Hawaii guy on the G5 Hive, we asked him about linebacker, and I believe the name he mentioned to kind of keep an eye out for was Jalen Smith. I'm not 100% on that. We did that interview back in, I don't know, February. So it's been a while since when we interviewed him, but I believe it was Jalen Smith. He kind of was one of the linebackers that he mentioned to keep an eye on.
Yeah, it looks like Jalen Smith was their third leading tackler with 67. He was their leading playmaker behind the line of scrimmage with 9 TFLs. And then not much as a pass rusher, only 1.5 sacks. But, yeah, third and leading tackler and then their best player behind the line of scrimmage. So, yeah, that may be a name to keep an eye on. Next is going to be, make sure I'm missing one here, the Nevada Wolfpack. Few changes here. So, again, head coach, top of the food chain is out. Ken Wilson was fired. Jalen Ortiz, the cornerbacks coach, went to Utah to coach cornerbacks there. Al Lupahua, and I probably said that wrong, but the defensive line coach, he left to go to San Jose State and coach their inside linebackers. I do like what they brought in. They brought in Jeff Choate to be their head coach. And if you know that name, he was the former linebackers coach at Texas. So I like that for them. Joining him on his staff is going to be Kane Ione. To be the DC or defensive coordinator, and he was the safeties coach at Boise State. They've got Joey Thomas coming in to coach defensive backs. He's following Choate over from Texas. He was an analyst there. And then you got Parker Henry, who's going to come in and coach special teams and linebackers, and he's coming over from Portland State as an assistant.
Player-wise, they lose safety Richard Toney off to TCU. And their leading tackler, defensive back, Amani Johnson, is out of eligibility. They bring in linebacker Austin Harnerloo from Washington, safety Katon Crawford from Texas, safety Keyshawn Cobb from Nevada, safety Dallas Mallinger from West Virginia, and edge Caden Johnson from Wisconsin. So they bring in a lot of safeties there. Like I said, they lose their top tackler guy, which is Amani Johnson, with 90 tackles. Their top linebacker that does return is Drew Watts, sophomore last year, had 56 total tackles. This really isn't. I mean, maybe it'll change, right, with a new, more defensive minded head coach. But this isn't traditionally a defense that you target for production from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah, like you said, losing their top two tacklers. And Johnson and Toney is going to hurt. Probably more Amani Johnson than Terry or Toney. Johnson had 99 tackles. Toney had 67. But yeah, they both had 5 interceptions combined. So they're going to lose some talent there. Be interesting.
But they bring in 3 defensive backs from the Power 5 too. So
exactly. So I think overall, they're going to be much better. It may take a year or two once this coaching, because I love Choate coming in as the new guy there. He's under Sarkisian down there at Texas, so he kind of sees what it takes, right? So I like his pedigree, and I think he's going to do some good things here with Nevada. A lot of people think of Nevada, they think wide open offenses and, you know, just the pistol and stuff like that. But I think if you can play any kind of defense, then you're going to have a really good chance, especially in the Mountain West. So I like that. Up next is going to be the New Mexico Lobos. So I like this. So let's do the out. So their head coach, Danny Gonzalez, fired. They let go of him. He just wasn't performing up. So to replace him, they brought in Bronco Mendenhall to be their new head coach, which I love this too. I think this is going to be a great opportunity for him and them.
Great move on their part. That.
Yes. I think he's one of the smarter head coaches around college football. And for them, I'm surprised somebody else didn't grab him, to be honest. But for them to grab him, I think that's huge. And with him, he's going to bring Charles Mack to be his secondaries coach, who used to coach safeties at VMI. He's going to bring in Nick Howe to be his defensive coordinator, who was the defensive coordinator at Vanderbilt. He's going to bring in Shane Hunter to coach linebackers, who was a BYU graduate assistant. Dante Wilkins to coach defensive line, who coached the same position at Lafayette. And then Jan Jorgensen is going to coach the edges, and he was a BYU analyst. So I like what he's put around him. And like I said, I love the hire for him, but I love it for the school too. I think it's just a good match, and I'm surprised that somebody really hadn't already got Bronco to be their head coach before now.
For players, like normally with, you know, a coaching overhaul like that, you would expect a lot of turnover or change, but there really isn't a lot of change on the defensive side of the ball anyway. They really only lose linebacker Alec Marenko, who's in the portal, hasn't said where he's going yet. He was their leading tackler a year ago with 64 tackles. They bring in Edge Moso Tutelli from California, defensive lineman Dejon Benton from USC, and then defensive lineman from ODU, Devin Brandt. Not losing too much. So good news there. But obviously they're going to need to get some more production out of these guys. So it'd kind of be interesting to see maybe who steps up. Their top returning tackler is safety Christian Ellis, who had 58 total tackles a year ago.
Yeah. Like I said, as I do my rankings, these lists have helped me so much. To remember players and see who's coming in and all that. But I would also keep an eye on Ben Bywater. And that seems like he's been there for years, right?
Because BYU. Did he transfer in? I thought he was at BYU.
Oh, I'm sorry. He is at BYU. I don't know what I was thinking. No, he's at BYU. I guess because I was thinking of Mendenhall. My bad.
Yeah.
My bad. Good catch. Where was we at? New Mexico. So now we are on to San Diego State. It seems like the Mountain West got rid of a lot of head coaches.
A lot of coaching changes. Yeah,
because San Diego State, they rehauled theirs too, right? They got rid of Brady Hoke, who retired. Well, they didn't get rid of him. He retired, which forced the change. Anoki Brechterfield, their defensive line coach, then left to coach the defensive line at Baylor. So they had openings. They filled the head coaching spot with Sean Lewis, who was the offensive coordinator previously at Colorado.
Head coach at Kent State.
Yeah, so that could be an interesting hire for San Diego.
I think it's a good move for them.
I do too. Like you said, the head coach experience – was up there with Dion and seeing all of that. So I think he has a good feel for what to do and not to do. And then with him, he's going to have CJ Magorisk to coach his safeties. He was an analyst at Washington previously. Then you're going to see Eric Schmidt be the new defensive coordinator. He was the edge coach and special teams coordinator for Washington. And then Rob Arick is going to help coach the edge, is going to coach the edges. He was formerly a defensive coordinator for Idaho Vandals. And then David Lowe's or Lewes, I don't know how you pronounce that, or Lowe's. He was a defensive line coach also for Idaho. So he's coming over to coach that. So they, two from Washington, two from Idaho. The two from Washington, I'm surprised, kind of didn't follow DeBoer. To Alabama, but I think that's a really good get for San Diego. And Sean Lewis has put some, you know, a safeties coach, which we've seen Washington have some good safeties lately. The defensive coordinator, their edges, they've had some. So getting those two to come join him at San Diego State, I felt like was a really good hire. And then the two guys from Idaho, I think will also help.
Yeah, I think the big thing to note here, I read an article, I guess, this weekend or last week that with this changeover in defensive personnel. And you know, it's going to be a defense closer to what Washington ran previously, which is different from mm-hmm. San Diego. So they're switching to now there'll be a 4-2-5, whereas previously San Diego State was a 3-3-5. So get those edge rushers more involved with that 4-2-5 that they're switching to. Now San Diego State, as you might expect, with a lot of coaching turnover, there's also a lot of player turnover. They lose their leading tackler, linebacker Zyrus Fiasau, off to Arizona State. Linebacker Cooper McDonald to TCU. Safety Marcus Ratcliffe to Texas A&M. Safety Sadarius Barfield is out of eligibility. They are losing six of their top seven tacklers. They do bring in a couple of linebackers that are interesting. Tano Latalui from Army and linebacker Owen Chambliss coming over from Utah, as well as safety William Nemo coming over from UCLA. Their leading tackler is Cody Moon, a linebacker, leading returning tackler, I should say, with 58 tackles from a year ago. It'd be interesting to see kind of how Moon fits in this new offense. If they're going to leave him at, you know, last year he played linebacker in a 3-3-5. Now they're moving to that 4-2-5. Are they going to move him to defensive line? I'm not sure. But it's definitely a question that I know whenever we interview the San Diego State guy over at G5 High, it's definitely a question I plan to ask. But yeah, it'd be interesting to kind of see what they do with Cody Moon.
Well, I need to find, if I'm not mistaken, Moon is kind of a slender guy. So he's kind of like, I want to say like 6'2", just a little bit over, let's see, a little bit over 200. Let's see what they say he's listed at, but you can't always go by what they say. So they've got him listed at 6'3", 210.
Because didn't he kind of play edge or somebody? Yeah, that's really light for an edge. It is, but I want to say the team, whoever he was with before San Diego State, I thought they had him play a little bit edge. Obviously, outside linebacker. He was with New Mexico before. Yeah, he was playing some outside linebacker, yeah, I think, for them.
Yeah, because looking here, 2022 for New Mexico, he had 105 tackles. But you're right, he did play some outside, 9.5 for a loss, 4.5 sacks. I don't know. Not saying that he can't play that. I just think that's a little light to be playing on the
edge. That's kind of like his role, right? He's been an outside linebacker guy. And in a 4-2-5, he's going to be more of a middle linebacker guy. So it'd be kind of interesting to see how he fits, how he kind of fits in this new defensive scheme.
Yes, I agree. Up next is San Jose State. Again, head coach Brent Brennan is out. He left to go to Arizona to be their new head coach. So, of course, there's a lot of turnover. And I hate these names. Ken Nuitamalo is the new head coach. He comes over from UCLA where he was the tight ends coach.
Former Navy head coach.
Yes, former Navy head coach. I like that. It's a good hire for them. He's going to bring Greg Burns over from UCLA to coach cornerbacks, if I could talk. He's bringing Josh Irvin over from UCLA to coach outside linebackers. Al Lupahua is going to coach the defensive end, and he's coming from Nevada. And then you're going to have Boye Filamayatu is going to coach the inside linebackers, and he was with San Diego State as their defensive line coach. So it looks like the Mountain West had a lot of turnover coaching-wise, as we said, especially at the top, but they filled it with some nice options, right? So I think they didn't just go out and get whoever. These teams really did their homework because they feel like there's some – they can make up a lot of ground and improve as a conference with these head coaching moves, and I like them.
As you might expect, there is quite a bit of turnover from personnel standpoint. They lose their leading tackler, Brian Parham's off to Washington. linebacker Justin Eklund off to Bowling Green, edge Trey Smith off to Arizona. They lose five of their top six tacklers. They do bring in safety Larry Turner Gooden coming over from Texas. Their top returning tackler is Jordan Pollard, linebacker, had 79 tackles a year ago. They do lose the 100 tackle guy and Brian Parham. So definitely a spot, you know, like Sal's always asking to kind of pay attention and kind of see who steps up in that middle linebacker role for San Jose State.
Yep, I agree. Couple more teams here. We have UNLV Rebels next. So Damon Maguza, their safeties coach, is out. He goes to ECU to coach the same position, and they bring in Nico Ferreira to coach safeties, and he was promoted. He was an analyst for the Rebels last year, so he's now their new safeties coach.
Player-wise, they lose safety Cameron Jenkins to Baylor, linebacker Fred Tompkins out of eligibility, safety Jackson Turner out of eligibility. But they bring in a lot of Power 5 guys to the transfer portal. Cornerback Tony Grimes coming over from Texas A&M. Safety Malik Chavez from Arkansas. Safety Jalen Catalan from Texas. Linebacker Manny Powell from Arkansas. Edge Jaden Navarrete coming over from Oregon. So quite a bit of shakeup on the defense. They do return their leading tackler in Jackson Woodard, a linebacker who had 97 tackles a year ago. But, you know, all those Power 5 guys, you know, they're looking to make some noise here in the Mountain West.
Yeah, I was looking at your list here. There'll be a lot of players have to step up for them, but with these incoming transfers, I don't think it'll be as bad, but, yeah, they have a little work to do there. Next up is going to be the Utah State Aggies. I really like one of their additions, which we'll get to, but coaching changes. They fired their defensive coordinator, Joe Coffin, and Mitchell White, their cornerbacks coach, left to go coach the same position for the Redhawks of Miami of Ohio. So coming in to replace Coffin, they brought in Nate Drilling, which I like. Another good quality coaching change or hire. He's going to be their defensive coordinator, where he was the same position at New Mexico State. And then they're going to bring in Jalen Ortiz, who we mentioned earlier. He's going to come in and coach cornerbacks, and he was formerly at Nevada. So with the new coaching change at defensive coordinator and one of these players that you're about to talk about, I really like what the possibility there for them.
So they lose safety Devin Dye off to Kansas, and they lose their leading tackler, linebacker MJ Tafisi's out of eligibility. Coming in from the portal, they bring in edge Bryce Cage from Texas State, defensive lineman Maceo Williams from Kent State, defensive lineman Miguel Jackson from Charlotte, defensive lineman Ricky Lolohea from Oklahoma State, and then we kind of get to the linebackers. Linebacker Sean Dolak from Buffalo, linebacker Jaden Pearson from Utah, and linebacker Will Schaefer from Arizona State. I know the initial inclination is like, man, this sounds really good for Sean Dolak, but I'm just kind of, I don't know. They bring in those two Power 5 guys, so be interested to kind of see how it shakes out with the spring, if Pearson or Schaefer can give Dolak a run for his money there and for that middle linebacker spot that's opened up.
Yeah, that'll definitely be interesting to see. If nothing else, the competition for Dolak could be good, right? But I think put him into the role that Tafisi had last year. You mentioned he was their leading tackler with 142. That's a lot of production to replace. But Dolak has been one of those guys. He's been one of the better tackle options for IDP Davey Fantasy that we've seen the past, 2-3 years. So I don't think anything really changes for him unless for some reason he doesn't get that starting job. I think actually he could be just a little bit better. So an experienced guy, I like that for him. And I also like that they have Ike Larson, their safety. They're do-it-all safety back there behind him. He was their second leading tackler, 103, had four interceptions, six pass deflections, did a little bit of everything for them. So if you can get Dolak to come in and do what Tafisi did or better and still have Larson on that back end, I think they're good.
Yeah.
I think their big question is who's going to be their pass rusher, right? That's going to help those two. up next is, I believe this is, don't we have a couple more? Up next is Wyoming. And Oscar Giles left. He was their defensive line coach. He left to go to Houston to coach the same position. Incoming changes, they've got Jay Sovell to be their new head coach. He's getting a promotion as he was their formerly their defensive coordinator, so he's stepping up. Aaron Bull, who was their linebackers coach, is going to step up and be their new defensive coordinator. And then Jeff Phelps is coming over from North Dakota State, the Division II powerhouse, where he was a defensive line coach. He's coming over to help coach their defensive tackle. So, again, some quality coaching changes.
They lose linebacker Caden Hawkins over to Louisiana Tech, linebacker Brady Holman to Missouri, and then the big one is linebacker Easton Gibbs, who's off to the NFL. They don't really bring in anyone of note, at least at this point, on the defense. They do return their second leading tackler, linebacker Shay Suianao, who had 89 tackles a year ago. And maybe he's going to be the one that'll step up and kind of take over that Easton Gibbs role. Easton Gibbs last year, just over 100 tackles with 101.
Right. And they've also got Watt Weckler, who I like.
Safety.
We'll see how he goes. Yeah. And then we can't forget Buck Coors down there, man. We just cannot go a show without mentioning Buck Coors. Next, well, that does it for the Mountain West, but like we did previously with the Independents, we added the Pac-12, and there's only two teams.
There's only two. I figured they kind of fit best. Might as well throw them in here with the Mountain West.
Which, to me, why would these two not just join forces? I mean, you're right there geographically.
Well, they are. I mean, from a scheduling standpoint, they're playing the Mountain West. They're just not in the conference.
Exactly. But that would be something I look at, especially if you want to join the ACC. Why not get the Mountain West, make your super conference? You've got your West, you've got your East. But anyway, so for Oregon State, they had quite the list here. On the way out is Jonathan Smith, their head coach. He's leaving to go to Michigan State to be their head coach. Blue Adams, their defensive back coach, is also going to Michigan State. His role is to be determined or announced. And you got Ligi Suanua, also their defensive line coach, also leaving to go to Michigan State to coach the same position. And then Anthony Perkins, their cornerback coach, graduated to the NFL. He's going to be the Packers' new assistant defensive backs coach. And boy, do they need that. So coming in, Trent Bay is going to be the new head coach for Oregon State. And that's a promotion for him. He's stepping up from being their defensive coordinator. So he's getting a promotion there. Then you got Laiza Tuiaki to be their defensive line coach. You've got A.J. Cooper coming over from Sacramento State to coach inside linebackers. You've got Hayward, coming over to coach the defensive coordinator or be the defensive coordinator. He was formerly quality control for the Las Vegas Raiders. And then you got Rod Chance coming in to be their defensive backs coach.
And this is a team, like, Yeah, this is probably one of the worst ones we've talked about in terms of what they lose. But they lose defensive lineman Sione Lolohea off to Florida State, safety Achille Arnold off to USC, linebacker Easton Mascarenhas Arnold off to USC, safety Ketan Oladapo off to the NFL draft. They lose 12 of their top 13 tacklers. So, yeah, this is going to be a whole new defense for them, right? They bring in defensive lineman Tyge Hill from LSU, defensive lineman Tavita Pomier from Oregon, and edge DJ Wesolak coming over from Missouri. Man, it's going to be a whole brand new defense. You know, kind of see how they shake out in the spring, and they'll be getting a feel for them and see how they do going into the new year. But man, they got a lot of adjustment and player personnel that needs to step up, you know, in 2024.
Yeah. Talking about a complete rebuild, it's one thing to have a coaching staff change or have a lot of players move on, but when you've got both, when you've got a complete coaching change and you're losing 12 of your top 13 tacklers, I believe you said, that's a tall task to grasp there. And then finally, we're going to have Washington State Cougars. Ray Brown, their cornerbacks coach, left to go be the secondary coach at Boston College. And then coming in to replace him is going to be Alan Brown, who was an analyst for the Florida Gators previously.
So they lose linebacker Davin Hicks off to Georgia Southern. Safety Jaden Hicks is off to the NFL. Defensive end Brennan Jackson off to the NFL. Defensive end Ron Stone Jr. Out of eligibility. They lose five of their top six tacklers. They do bring in linebacker Keith Brown Louisville. And they return their leading tackle from a year ago, Kyle Thornton, linebacker, 87 tackles. I think the thing to pay attention to here is kind of who steps up at edge, right? With Jackson and Stone gone, Jackson and Stone were productive guys there for them for a long time, and they got to replace them both.
Yeah, definitely some things to figure out for the Cougars as well. That wraps up our Mountain West and the Pac-12, the two teams in the Pac-12. Wraps that up. So next week, it looks like we're going to be looking at the Sun Belt Conference, which should be fun. Always enjoy some good Sun Belt topics. Also, you are doing the G5 tonight.
Yep, we're doing G5 Hive tonight, 10:15, 10:30-ish. If you're, again, check out the Worker Bee series we're doing over there where we talk to the folks that know the teams the best. We've done interviews with Hawaii and Liberty at this point. And we talk defense, too, on those shows, we're basically just trying to get to know the teams better. We talk recruiting, coaching changes, offensive personnel, defensive personnel, NIL, transfer portal. It's just, just great information from a college football perspective. So, definitely check those out. And then the Air Force episode is dropping this Friday.
Awesome. So, yes, please check them out at G5 Hive. Go over to YouTube, rate, subscribe, review there. Do the same with Davey IDP Grind. Give us a rate, subscribe, review. Check out our website.
Hit the like button.
Yeah, hit the like button. Check out IDPNation.com. Go over and check out our Discord that we got going on that we just recently put together. And it's starting to grow. All kinds of IDP content, talk, discussion. But it's more than that, right? We talk offense over there, too. We talk some other sports. It's a full chat room. So go check that out. We'd be glad to have you follow me at Hollywood Titan. You can follow Justice at Justice_2318. Follow us at Davey IDP Grind. Wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Podbean, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, it doesn't matter. Go over there, give us a review, and help us grow. Like I said, next week we'll be back with the Sun Belt. Can't wait to dig into that one. If you have any questions, reach out to me or Justice or hit us up on our WIDP Ground Twitter. More than glad to help. Go check out our Patreon. Like I said, I just got my 300 IDP Debbie ranks up. There'll be some movement, but I finished that up yesterday, and it looks good. There's a lot of new names. There's some player movement, so go check that out. Not, as always, there's articles and stuff over there for y'all to check out as well. But with that said, we will be back next week. Thank each of y'all for listening and tuning in.